Hey, it's Fleet, Vaughn and Megan. Thanks.
Insert name here.
For downloading the podcast brought to you by MyRepublic.
Brought to you by MyRepublic, but what if I downloaded this using another provider?
Well, don't worry. They won't hold it against you. How's that for knowing no limits?
ZM's Fleet, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hello.
Tuesday.
What do you look? What is it? What, in looking at pictures of food?
No, that's my food. I have to post everything I eat. Forgot to do my food yesterday.
Oh, right. So that your nutritionist can see it.
Yes. Do you have to remember what you ate and Google it? And
no, I have to post it so my nutritionist can see.
No, but what if you forgot to take a photo?
I always take a photo.
Artist rendition.
How long have you been doing this for now? Months, it seems.
Like 2 months.
How many photos are in your...
No, I delete them as I go, because otherwise my phone is just like full up of photos.
No, but in your Instagram account.
Oh.
Open up your gram. Tell us how many gross pictures of shitty crackers.
494.
Oh, babe. I mean, it's the most depressing food.
I know, no, that's the thing, because lots of people, I have so many follow requests, and I'm like, you don't want to follow this. It, because it's like 7 photos.
Can you show me? Can I have
a
look at your feed?
God, it's... Oh, have you ever had snacks and not put them on, like a big chocolate bar?
No, but my friend does that.
What? What are you doing?
She texts me and she's like, I just had a Big Mac. And
are you hiding something from
Vaughn? No, I accidentally locked it up.
Oh, mate. This is depressing. Lots of yogurt. Are you regular? Because that's that Symbio.
Symbio.
That'll crank it right through.
Snack.
It'll make you poo.
Yeah.
Oh, you've got a lot of smoothies. Mm. What's this? Because there's a few of these. Is this a smoothie in a
smoothie.
Cup?
That's my tofu smoothie in the morning.
Cup.
Oh, God.
Oh, babe.
Do you remember when we did this diet for like half a day?
Half an hour.
It was really awful.
Really gave it our best shot. So, you know what's depressing? A handful of nuts. Any sort of nuts.
That's my after dinner treat. So when I went to see Baywatch last night, I... BYO'd 10 almonds and a protein bar.
When is the sad life of yours over? When you get married?
You're going on holiday soon. I hope this is
getting... Oh, the holiday will be...
Hit. A blowout?
Not a blowout, but I will be eating what I want.
Yeah. You gotta live. Yeah. You gotta live.
How was Baywatch?
Do you know, Zac Efron was a little bit too sinewy. He was a little bit leathery.
But I wondered if he looked a little gristly.
0% body fat.
Like if he was a steak, he'd be like,
because he got super cut for the movie, didn't he?
It's insane. Like zero body fat. It's pretty funny. Don't expect too much and you'll be...
It's lowbrow.
Lowbrow.
Really
comedy.
Like lots of D jokes.
Yeah.
Boob references.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I read a review. It's not doing great.
No.
Because it's R rated as well.
Keep expectations low and you'll be fine.
All right, $30,000 for our ZM Secret Sound coming up 7 and 8 o'clock this morning. Thanks to Save My Bacon. Little loans, no surprises. This is the Secret Sound. Not Caitlin, just did the stapler. It's not the stapler.
Same time.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
All right, you lot, listen up. It's story time.
It is amazing at our ability to stop gossiping. And like, we are the ABS brakes of gossiping when we're going to go on air. We were in full flight of goss. And then that intro played, boom, ABS brakes, baby. Stop. We'll go back to it, though.
All right, headlines. Three of them. Vaughn and Megan have to pick one for story time. Uruguay goes 24/7 munchies. Headline two, ghost town for sale. And headline three, man discovers how he got home.
Always wanted to buy a ghost town. Because I know you talked about buying a town if you won Lotto.
Oh, yeah.
But then you'd have to put up with residents.
But you'd buy all of Thames for that 27 mil.
No, because there's people in Thames.
Well, I just evict them.
You're out.
Yeah.
But you're out. I said you're out.
Yeah.
Turn it into a paintball.
Yeah.
Buy a ghost town and turn the whole thing into a paintball arena.
Oh, that would be amazing.
That would be pretty slick.
Mm. Or a big spookers.
Oh, that would be horrible. Like a zombie experience.
Yeah. And we call it Zombie Town.
Oh, shit.
And you stay the night. You stay the night, but you're not allowed to kill anyone.
No.
It would just happen.
No, you're given like an axe.
Yeah.
But it's got a foam head on it.
Oh,
so you can be like, bang. And if you're a zombie and you get banged with an axe, that means you can't play anymore.
I'm waiting for the day that someone gets killed at spookers because they frighten someone too much.
They've been punched, eh?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's the thing. They scare you. Turn around, yeah. You fight or flight. I'm a flight man myself. Run as fast as I can, but I know some people will fight. I don't feel Ghost Town's going to measure up to how we've set it now.
No, it's
so,
not.
So, what was the first one?
Uruguay goes 24/7 munchies, and headline 3, man discovers how he got home.
Has Uruguay, like, legalised weed or something?
Right, and like vending machines or something.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't. How did the man get home?
You want to know that one?
Yeah.
Okay, we go now to Australia, and some people are calling it the best selfie ever taken. Tasmanian police have urged partygoers to plan ahead to make sure they get home safely.
Okay.
A man called Reese, who lives in Launceston. Is that what you say? Launceston?
I don't know. I've never been to Tasmania. Has anybody here been to Tasmania?
I had a friend that went. And because, you know, that movie, Lion.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I haven't watched it, but
that's where they live. Oh. In Tassie. It looks beautiful.
I'd love to go to Tasmania.
I watched that movie. I was like, oh, I'd love to go there.
Mm.
But yeah, I had a friend that's gone there and apparently it's beautiful.
Yeah.
But like New Zealand.
Give it a go.
Or something.
Well, it's kind of a cross, isn't it?
Yeah. So anyway, this guy called Reese in Lonnie woke up at Sunday after a big night out. Couldn't remember how he got home. It's happened to all of us.
Yes.
It's happened to the best of us.
Yeah.
He was scrolling through his photos on his phone when he came across a photo of him in bed and a couple of Tassie police officers who took a selfie with him in the background in
his
bedroom.
Reese is rocking a thumbs up.
Reese is, it's actually a hang 10, a shaka bra, I think.
Is he shaka?
He's shaka bra.
They've tucked him in.
They've tucked him into bed and they've got him home safely and they've left a little photo on his phone as a reminder. He posted the photo on Facebook saying, just looking through my phone, turns out these good C's took some banger selfies after they took my drunk ass home. Bloody legends. And since then, the image has gone viral.
That's
and some
so
calling
cute.
It the best selfie ever.
It is good that the police are getting some positive
coverage.
Because often they're just punching a teen armed with a bottle. That's the that's the latest video. Have you seen that video?
Yeah, I have.
Give them a punch. Sometimes they need a punch. These ones swinging bottles at police officers.
I didn't feel sorry for that person. Nah. I saw that footage last night on
the
news.
There is many incidences where, you know, police overstep the boundary. Yeah. But
maybe tickle them next time.
Oh, horrible. I'd rather be punched.
I'd drop a bottle if I was tickled by a policeman.
I'd punch them with the bottle if they tickled me.
Yeah. That's aggravated assault.
I'd just go
someone.
Straight for the taser.
Taser tickle.
Taser tickle.
Give them a tickle with a taser.
It's effective policing. You're welcome.
You need one of those tasers that doesn't shoot out, just like you hold it. And just lightly run it down their ribs. Oh, what a mirthful experience.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
Our burger fuel has opened in the United States of America, the home of the burger, the country you thought was at maximum burger capacity.
No, there's room.
Well, apparently so. Yeah, they've opened a burger fuel, the first burger fuel of America in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Why there?
Is that where the Indy 500?
They do the
Indy 500, and you know, they're quite like muscle car oriented.
Oh, yeah, they are. So that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. So they've opened in there. Also, where they have opened is apparently in the zone of four universities. Close to four universities.
Oh, smart.
In a suburb that is an up-and-coming suburb.
Right.
So the building actually looks quite cool. It's like this old, I don't know, it might have been a garage at some stage. It's this beautiful old red brick building. I'm a bit into brick at the moment.
He's such an interior designer.
I'm a bit into brick. And you know what I really like? Painted brick. Like a white painted brick.
Yeah, right. Okay.
It's nice because you can see that it's brick and it's got the texture and the depth and everything of brick, but it's like sort of a nice white uniform.
How do you feel about those places where you go in and you can see that it's just like fake brick?
Oh, I hate it.
It's not. Yeah,
that
you're a purist.
Facade of brick. Yeah, oh, I'm a purist.
You're
oh,
a purist.
I'm a purist. Yeah. That's gone without. That goes without saying.
Right. And so what? So the burger fuel's in America.
Yeah.
And what is their plan to take over the world?
Well, they've been apparently, I've just been reading a bit more. They've been looking at it for like 3 years. And initially, they were going to go in with franchise brands who own Subway.
Right. Because you know when you get the.
But they decided not to because a guy died and.
Oh, right. You get that. you get that thing, you know, the
Doofa.
Table mat. Oh. And it's got all the countries it's in, isn't it? In like Kuwait or something?
Yeah, and Dubai.
It's in Abu Dhabi, maybe. And
so they're in a few countries already.
Yeah, yeah, okay. But I guess America's sort of like that market if you can break into that and do well.
Oh. Is the menu, is it just what we've got
yep.
here? Oh,
yep.
Wow.
What, do they have Kuma fries over there? Well, that would blow their mind.
Sweet potato fries.
Sweet potatoes.
Sweet potatoes.
Blow their mind in America.
Oh, yeah, I don't know what they'll do about the Kuma fries. Because, I mean, you can grow Kuma.
I mean, if we're, we're talking, I mean, I love Burger Fuel, but if we're talking burgers, we need to get Shake Shack over here.
Oh, yeah, that's really good
stuff. We had that in Dubai. It's in America. It's so good.
And I always imagine, like, you take your best burgers from, like, America or Dubai and then imagine them with New Zealand beef, which is always so nicer beef, and New Zealand cheese.
Yeah.
But you imagine them with the New Zealand ingredients.
Shake Shack would just come here and then you'd be like, nah, it's the same as Carl's Jr.
No, it's different. It's
okay.
Like,
how's it different?
It's not like not like chainy like a fast food. It's more like a Burger Fuel.
Oh, is it?
It's pretty good.
It's real good.
It is good. I'm still blown away by the flact. That's what you call a Fletch fact.
A flact.
You're a grown man, and he can get a burger and fries, and then like a thick shake.
Me? What can you not mean? Do all that?
God, no! I can't do a thick shake. Like a thick shake's its own standalone, like dessert, or like if you're just going to have a thick shake. But
no,
I'll be a soda with a burger. Like,
I'll be disgustingly full, but I'm happy.
Because that's what we went out for burgers the other night, and you had a shake.
Yeah.
On the way home, my daughter Indy was like, "Fletch had a thick shake with dinner." I was like, "Yeah, some people do that." She's like, "Wouldn't he be full?" Like, it just blew her mind. My dad loves thick shakes, but he only ever has them by themselves.
He's a strawberry
man.
What's your flavour?
I was a chocolate.
You're
cocoa.
A chocolatey.
It was
biscuity.
It was a cherry chocolate. Delicious.
He loves a thick shake.
Anyway, I mean, it's 20 past six and we're talking about burgers and shakes. So,
oh my God.
Breakfast, anyone?
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
It's the top six.
I couldn't find my mouse. It's like, where's the mouse thing?
Isn't there a keyboard shortcut to find your mouse?
Yeah, but then like, it takes just as much.
Yeah, but then it's got a keyboard shortcut.
Yeah, right.
It's hard. I've got two screens, guys. It's hard. Sometimes it's like the mouse is hiding in front of a white bit. And, you know, that's hard.
Is that why it's called a mouse? Because mice are really good at hiding.
Yeah, I think so.
Probably not. Wills and Kate are looking for a new housekeeper, and that's today's top six. Today's top six, the things you'll need to be able to do if you want to be that new housekeeper. This is the Dutch and the Duchess and Duke of Wills and Kate's in prison.
Because a bit of scandal. She's quit, hasn't she? She said it's too much.
Too much. It would be bloody hard because everything's got to be meticulous the entire time. But how often do people go in there?
And also, good luck finding a millennial that's going to do this job.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to need to find an old lady.
She was like, when do I get to like go home and do something?
Exactly. Because millennials want to have a life, don't they?
You need one of those old people that didn't care about having a life. They were happy to do nothing and then die in servitude. Why don't millennials want to do that? What's wrong with them? Why don't they want to be modern day slaves in nice clothes? Number six on the list, wipe the stainless steel appliances, but leave no streaks.
It's hard because stainless steel appliances and benches look so good, but they get so streaky.
You haven't even thought about the fact that there's two children in this house too. Those grubby little crazy mitts on the front of the dishwasher, unbelievably hard.
I couldn't help but tell off George, and then I'd get in trouble for telling off the front.
You come here, I know you're the future king of the East. Stop touching the goddamn dishwasher, I'll break you.
Do that thing you do to kids on planes, give them this evil look like you'll strangle them.
And hiss at them.
Yeah. Just while their parents aren't looking.
Number five on the list of the top six things you'll need to be able to do if you want to be Will and Kate's new housekeeper is wipe the bench, but not onto the floor. Sometimes, you know, if there's only a little bit, you're like,
into your palm of your hand.
It's the ultimate laziness because literally into the palm in my kitchen, into the palm of your hand, turn around, reach out. That's as far as you ever are from the sink.
Yeah.
But sometimes I'm like,
look around first.
This looks like it's going to need to be vacuumed anyway. Straight under the floor.
And then under the fridge.
Oh, it always makes its way under the fridge. Number four on the list, clean the oven, But like properly clean it because Will's loves cheesy pastas and we all know the bubbly cheese.
Yeah.
It goes pop and it sticks to the roof and then that's the grilly bit and then it goes plop onto the floor and then it cooks down there as well. So I hope you like cleaning ovens. Number three on the list of the top six things you'll need to be able to do if you want to be Will and Kate's new housekeeper. Wipe that bit of the toilet that, where it bolts onto the floor.
Oh, I hate that.
You know how toilets go in and then they come out?
Like the S-bendy bit.
No, well, on the inside. Oh, on the outside, rather. Yeah.
Where it goes onto the floor. All the dust goes in there.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. And I've heard that if you're a guy, Megan, you can probably confirm this, but if you're a guy and you're having someone come around, if you clean that part of the toilet, it means you're, like, really keen.
Well, Megan didn't even know what that part of the toilet was.
No, Andrew cleans it.
The outside where it...
He cleans that.
It comes down and the little bit pops out to bolt onto the floor.
Yeah.
If he cleans in that.
I just do a standoff, like, I can take this longer than you can take it.
Right, and then he just sees the dust.
Yeah.
Well, when you're a woman, you sit on the toilet, you don't look at it, but when you're a guy, you wee into it, you've got to watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if he's cleaning down there, he might also be missing the bowl a little bit. And a little bit of a wee puddle forms and he's down there and he's wiping up the wee puddle and then he's like, I'll just wipe that as well.
That's good.
At least he's wiping it up.
Yeah.
Also, while we're talking about toilets, skid marks, scrubbed but never mentioned. That, of course, is the that of course is the Royal Cleaners motto. Number two on the list of the top six things you'll need to be able to do if you want to be Will and Kate's new housekeeper, vacuum under the couch. Like, move the couch and vacuum under the couch.
No one does
that. So much dust under there. I don't vacuum often, but when I do, I move couches.
Because and then you tell Sade that you not only vacuumed and I moved the couch. Yeah,
I went under the couch. And the number one thing you'll need to be able to do if you want to be Will and Kate's new housekeeper, dust the blinds. Venetian blinds.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot of
work. Hard ones. You know, I just saw a hack how to do it online. You wrap like a dusting cloth around tongs.
Oh.
And then you clench down on the tongs and you just go back and forward.
Yes.
That's a good idea.
And then absolutely coat the blinds in lemon pledge so dust won't settle again.
Lemon pledge.
That's today's top six.
ZM's Fledge, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
Lily McManus was the runner-up for The Bachelor this year. And we have found out a lot about her. She's not a big fan of Zach anymore. She's come out and said what she really thinks about that situation.
Ooh. Why?
I think it's
what you do when you lose.
You know that butterfly metaphor he used for her? She said, you know, like that was a stupid thing to say. And I think, you know, just a little bit scorned. But she has posted a lot of her tattoos. Now, there's a story that's been put up that's dedicated to Lily's tattoos. I'm going to read you through some of these and you'll understand why. We know she's
Vaughn and I don't have it tattoos. You don't have a tattoo.
No.
At all, do you, Megan?
Nah.
And I know, Vaughn, you just roll your eyes at a lot of tattoos.
Yeah, and a lot of
tattoos.
I'm not against them on a whole either. I think some of them are quite cool, but I think people often forget that it's a permanent marking of one's skin.
Yeah, that's the thing. And I'm too fickle. What I like today might be different to what I like tomorrow.
And people say, oh, if I don't like it, I'll just get it removed. It's like, well, why get it in the first place?
And it's horrifically painful and expensive.
Yeah, both times.
Yeah. Anyway, so she's posted these over a period of time. We know that she's got she's quite kooky. She's got a funny sense of humour.
Mm.
So she has on her foot, Lily was here, W-A-Z. A lot of these are actually on her foot. So.
Actually, it should be Lily is here.
But
because
then
she's technically still
she
there.
She technically is her foot.
Wrong use of tense.
On her foot, like round by her ankle, there's a little love heart, you know, like a love heart with an arrow through it, and it says, your dad. So, like, she's in love with your dad.
Is it all right that I kind of like that one?
It's very small and petite,
At least they're on her foot. She can cover it up with a big rugby sock. Yeah.
Not even a big rugby sock.
Just an ankle sock.
Just an
ankle cover these. Yeah.
Anklet sock.
Another one on her foot, in quotation marks, no more tattoos. And then that quote is credited to mum. The R and the more is backwards.
That's actually quite funny.
So her mum says, Lily, no more tattoos. And so she got that tattooed on her as a quote.
I like her. This is great. This is banter.
My favourite of the lot is on her middle and ring finger on one hand. She's got a wine bottle and a wine glass tattooed on her fingers.
Is it just so she can hold it up to the bar guy? Just be like, bottle or glass or both.
It looks like she could have done those herself, the ones on her hand. And apparently
all the ones you've shown me, I assume she did herself.
I don't know.
Or had a friend do.
Maybe. And there's no photo of this one, but apparently she has an If Asahi Bowls tattoo on her leg.
The what?
Asahi the bowls, you know, like smoothie bowls, the fad at the moment.
Oh,
she's like saying
if
them.
Archai.
Asahi.
No, Asahi is a Japanese beer.
That's how you say it. A-C-A-I. Asahi berries.
Now you're adding in an extra letter.
Well, how do you say it?
Well, no, it's different, isn't it? There's Asahi beer and then there's
Asahi bowls.
I never knew. I always. This is quinoa all over again.
Yeah.
So, I don't hate any of those.
No, but.
Oh, but come on, you're going to regret a couple of those.
I wouldn't get any of them.
Yeah.
But at least it's not just like a dolphin from Filofax page 83.
Yeah.
You know, those are the tattoos I don't like when someone's just flicked through a clear file and been like, that one.
Because the wine glass and the wine bottle, they mean something to her.
That, yeah. This one, because I'm having such a great time in Thailand.
Yeah.
But I'd like to do the classic.
Yeah.
What tattoo do you regret? Have you got one when you're drunk? Have you got one because you thought it was funny? Is it now spelt wrong? Classic Ed Sheeran situation. What tattoo do you regret?
Oh, because I'll never, ever forget waking up in Thailand and these British lads, absolute lads, had been like, got tattoos last night and showed everybody. And one of them had the name of the bar tattooed on his, like, shoulder, his arm, and another person had a stick figure. And I was like, cool.
And when we were in
Copenhagen, cool,
was this after a full moon party?
Yeah,
in Copenhagen, there's heaps of tattoo parlors open, and this guy was getting sheep on his ribs, but the sheep was saying moo, and he loved it. He's like, it's funny. Because I was like, what are you doing, man? What do you got going on in here? He's like, look, the sheep, they're saying moo. Like, sheep don't say moo. He's like, I know, that's why it's funny. Because the sheep can't say moo.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
So we want to know the one tattoo that you regret. And, you know, it takes a lot sometimes to admit that, doesn't it? Because you've inked yourself permanently.
I know, that's the thing. If I was to do it, I think I'd be too stubborn to ever admit that I regretted it.
Yeah.
Some text messages in on this super classy subject. My sister got access to a tattoo gun and tattooed the Nike tick on her foot.
On herself?
Yeah. She says she does not regret them.
Are they
really?
Straight?
We know.
Are they straight? Are they
the... What is a Nike tick?
Like, can you look at it and tell that it's a Nike tick?
Oh, probably not.
You move your foot, it'll go all like
tadpole.
Yeah.
My first tattoo I got under my boob, it says, get lit, fam. Not a regret yet.
No regrets yet.
Get lit, fam, under like your boob.
Yeah, that's like a relatively recent.
It's going to be like
term,
explaining cowabunga in like 10 years.
Totally will be. Somebody else said, in Thailand, we got pretty boozy. A mate of mine woke up in the morning with a tattoo that said, sushi is life. what he'd asked for was such is life.
Oh.
But got sushi is life, went back to the tattoo parlor. They showed him the piece of paper where he had written what he wanted on him, and he'd actually written sushi is life.
Oh, no. That's funny.
That's brilliant.
I'd get a spicy tuna roll on one side.
Yeah.
Chicken
teriyaki.
What on the other one? Chicken teriyaki, maybe. One of those big rice situations in the middle.
Ashley, what's your tattoo that you regret?
So I have like 5 birds, like, on the side of my ribs thing.
Right.
And I was just like, oh, I wish I got something else now.
What? So what? Well, are you talking sparrows, budgies, seagulls?
I don't even know, it's just like a freaking coloured and flying thing.
Is it like sharp winged?
And like the books and stuff.
Oh, it's like when you're drawing a seagull ages away.
Oh, yeah. just like an M. Like an M.
Like a really shallow M.
Oh, yeah, right.
Just like a fancy one.
Okay.
Well, you could always turn those into something else.
Yeah.
Like 5 McDonald's arches. You just like filled them out, finished the M.
Hey, thanks for your call, Ashley.
Someone who wants to remain anonymous messaged in saying their husband has his ex-wife's name across his back.
Oh, no.
Quite large letters.
Would you make your new boyfriend or husband laser that off, Megan?
Oh, laser it off.
Or cover it up?
Well,
cover it up.
He got it priced to laser it off. It was very expensive. So he just got "is a bitch" written underneath it.
It works.
But then you still have to see it all the time, you know?
Yeah, it's still there.
Betsy, what's your tattoo that you regret?
Well, I used to be a skydiver, so I used to jump out and film the people as they did their tandem skydives.
Yeah.
Okay. And so I thought it was a great idea to get part of the harness tattooed on my body. And so I got it on my shoulders, and it was really cool when I was hanging out with all the skydivers, would go to the pub, and it was great. Now I'm a mum doing, like, the soccer mum pickup, and it just looks like I'm into some kind of bondage.
Oh, no.
Or that your Previa van has a five-point safety harness.
So embarrassing.
So if you were wearing, like, a low-cut, like, off-the-shoulder kind of top, would you
it's
see...
All there. It's like, on my wedding day, I was strapped with dress, and I had to, like, try and get foundation to try and get... It didn't work.
I would have worn strap.
How thick is the harness?
Yeah, it's like chains.
Oh,
Betsy.
Oh, so that's where the bondage thing comes in. I see.
Oh, yeah, I see. Yeah. It's the part that releases your main parachute if you have to use your reserve. So it's quite thick and metallic.
So on your wedding day, you just had, like, faded chains.
Yeah, it just kind of looked like, a tippy tattoo job.
That's brilliant.
Shaka bra does not last forever, guys.
No. All right. Hey, thanks for your call, Betsy.
Some other tattoos. Someone said, I am a radiation therapist.
Yeah.
And for treatment, some patients need tattoos like the size of a freckle.
Right.
I don't know why. I've never had it. This is news to me. When I was a student, I decided to practice on myself so I could show patients what they look like.
Yeah.
The tattoo I was going to use as the example ran. Now it looks like a huge mole. And I can't show patients that's what we do, or it'll scare them. And they'll be like, I don't want that huge mole on me. So that's my tattoo regret.
Can they text back in and say why you need a tattoo? A little dot.
Is it the part...
Weird.
Radiation, is it where it goes in?
I don't know.
And it shoots the little thing. It might leave a little scar, so they might just cover it with a freckle. I'm not exactly sure. Somebody got a do not resuscitate tattoo on their chest. Just a drunken night out in Thailand again. But, I mean, that's got serious medical implications, because if somebody finds you and you've suffered some sort of cardiac arrest, that tattoo says don't resuscitate.
At least I won't be a veggie, though, will they? They've made their decision.
No, yeah, they have. Yeah. They've opted out.
They tattoo for markings so they can keep it, like if you have to have radiotherapy. The tattoos is to line up the radiotherapy machine each time.
Oh, it's like those little steel dots that you see hammered into the footpath.
Okay.
So they know where to put their survey machines to say this is where the road goes.
Apparently.
It's like a marker.
ZM's Fledge, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
ZM's $50,000 Secret Sound. Season 3. Tell me what the secret sound is.
All right, ZM's $50,000 Secret Sound. Thanks to Save My Bacon. Little loans, no surprises. $30,000 is the current jackpot. Now, Soundkeeper Gary still away. Today, Ross Boss in the hot seat.
Well,
now, why isn't that working?
Press the wrong button. There you go.
There we go.
Come on, Fletch. You've only got 3 screens and 5 buttons.
Yeah. Okay, there we go. All right. Now, playing today, Vaughn, would you like to introduce our caller?
Dinvar, how are you?
I'm good, thank
you. Not right, was it? You took too long to answer. That's how you're
saying.
Is it Denver?
Yep, it's Denver.
Oh, right, okay. I feel like that was producer Caitlin's writing more than your name.
Denver's a cool name.
It is.
Is
right.
Is that your legitimate...
Why are you beeping, Denver? Why are you beeping at us?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Calm down.
Sorry. Sorry.
Just doing Mary had a little lamb.
Is it your chin? Because sometimes I mute people with my chin.
Yeah. My wife's always cheek muting. It's a pain in the butt. She's like... Talk. I'm like, I can't hear you. Okay, I think you've cheek muted again.
All right, okay, this is the secret sound. So for $30,000, what do you think it is?
Is it a diving board when you jump off it and it sort of...
It doesn't make that.
Fantastic. Doesn't fit any of the clues, does it?
Oh, because we've
hold on,
said it.
Hold on.
Let's go through
Let's
the clues,
go through the
Ross.
Clues. Okay. Is there one...
But it does sound like that.
Is there one at the ZM office?
No.
Hold on. You guys aren't here long enough to know what we do in the afternoon.
Denver doesn't know we don't have a pool in the office.
Well, when you guys leave, we all celebrate.
Will you, Denver, stop?
Denver, you're pushing the buttons again, babe.
Oh, I'm so
sorry. Okay, Denver. Right, we do, in fact, have a swimming pool on the roof with a diving board. These guys just don't know about it, but I'm sorry, that's not the secret sound.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Thanks, thanks anyway, though, Denver. At least you've got
a
great
name.
Thank you. ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
That's my noise. As I further investigate, because I heard that Trade Me is launching a buy now, pay later situation.
Oh, that's dangerous.
I know. That's what. That's what they're saying. It, you know, is dangerous.
You're shopping on there, or you're just having a look because you're bored, and then, you know, if it's... You know, if you've spent all your money, it's close to payday, you're normally like, oh, well, I'll just wait till payday. And then you might forget about it and not buy it. With this, it's like you just get it.
That's the thing about Trade Me, right? You can't buy something. You can't hire purchase things on Trade Me. You can't buy it unless you can afford it.
But you can if you can also get with credit card now if the seller will choose a pay now.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
You can do that.
Pay with credit card.
And so is technically, that's not Afterpay? Is that what it's called?
That's the one that's launching.
Oh, God, that's dangerous.
This is going to be available on Trade Me listings from $20 to $800.
Right.
So how it works is that you can buy something if you don't have the money.
Yeah.
And choose to use Afterpay. And then you have to pay it in 4 fortnightly installments, regardless of the amount. So you just divide it by
4
and you have to make those payments.
I'm guessing there's a fee as well and some interest.
Well, this is the unusual thing. Initially, I think the fee falls on the seller, not the buyer.
No.
Yeah, that's what it says further down. Because I was like, what's the catch? This is how I figured it would work.
Yeah.
There'd be horrendous interest rates.
Yeah.
Because that's how finance companies make money. So there'd be horrendous interest rates and an initial setup fee.
Yep.
And then, you know, astronomical late fees.
Mm.
But no, they're saying the initial fee falls on the seller. In Australia, they say our standard merchant rates are 4.5 to 6%.
No one's going to sell anything that way. You're just not going to take that option.
I don't know how it would work for Trade Me, but I only know for like if you're buying a, because I always see this on online shopping.
Yeah.
So if you're buying a dress and it's like $100, it's like, well, you can afterpay $24.99. So 4 payments and that's it. There's no other hidden fees or anything. You literally only pay it in 4 installments. So maybe it's an incentive to make you buy it.
Yeah,
because
so like a lay-by,
well,
isn't
afford,
it?
I can't afford $100, but I can afford.
So how's Afterpay making its money then? And it have to, it's making the money off the seller.
Well, it's just making its money like it normally does, selling something. There'll still be fees there.
So, yeah, there's late fees. Australian $10 applies if the payment's not made by 11 p.m. after the due date.
Oh, right.
So
if you miss it, we'll have to pay that, surely.
Yeah, for sure. The payer pays that. Because once the seller sells it and it goes through there, it's not even their property. It's not their problem anymore. If you fail to make payments, I'm guessing Afterpay has to get the repo people to come and get your stuff too. The Baycorp sorts of folk. And then there's $7 added another fee if the payment's not made a week after that.
Right.
So it could get pretty expensive if you missed your payments.
Right, but if you're just paying it in installments, it's going to be no more than what you were going
to
pay.
Yeah, the seller seems to be picking up the price, and if you do pay it on time,
you're all good.
It's all good.
Huh.
Always gets me because it's like, oh, it's a $100 dress. Oh, but I can afford $25.
Now, and then again in 2 weeks, and then again in 2 weeks, and then again in 2 weeks.
It's so dangerous.
And then by the end of that 8 weeks, you've worn the dress once, and you're like, well, that's all I ever wear dresses for.
No, but
and
you're
still paying it off 7 weeks later.
Then you could sell the dress again, couldn't you? Or whatever. But then would that be allowed? Because you're not allowed to sell anything on hire purchase until you've paid it off.
Oh, if you could sell it before you've done Afterpay. Yeah. No, that wouldn't be allowed, surely.
What if you bought it using Afterpay and then before you've paid it off, you sell it. The person that buys it off you buys it using Afterpay.
I'm lost.
I'm just saying they're double dipping. They're double dipping the chip.
Yeah. Yep.
But
could be a good idea for something like a dress, though.
Yes.
You could sell it, even if you got $75 back.
And then they
you've
pay
worn a dress
after
once.
Payments?
I don't know. No, you'd pay it off with the money you got from selling it.
Okay.
You're lost, aren't you?
Yeah. So
you pay $100 for it.
Yeah.
Then you sell it for $75.
So I only paid $15 for it.
$25.
Great
math, though. You gave it a go.
You're doing well,
you
babes.
Took a confident shot in the dark there with your numbers, and you were 10 out, but you gave it a go.
But do you get that? And then you've worn a dress.
Yeah.
You've worn it once, you've sold it, and it only costs you 25.
Yeah.
That's how you could do it.
You could do that without Afterpay, though.
Yeah, you could.
You could.
You could.
You could.
It's a lot of work.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Good luck with that.
Good luck, everybody.
You're listening to the Fleetch, Vaughn & Megan podcast, brought to you by the team at MyRepublic.
Yeah. OneRepublic. With hit songs such as Apologise.
It's MyRepublic. Yeah, that's OneRepublic.
That's OneRepublic.
So I'm not here to promote the 2007 album Dreaming Out Loud.
No.
That actually makes a lot of sense. Yeah. I'll just stop this now then.
Okay.
Yeah, MyRepublic have no limits, but I sure do. If you're sick of limits, sign up to MyRepublic using the promo code podcast and you'll get a month free on top of what is already a great deal. Queen Elizabeth is apparently a fan of The Crown on Netflix.
Oh, it's about her.
Yeah.
How very narcissistic.
This is, well, if you haven't watched it, 10 Eps, right, on Netflix.
Yep.
It's about her early life with Prince Philip.
Why was, because I, you
Prince
know,
Prince Philip.
You
that was the question.
Through,
you wasn't, you were singing it like a rock star. No. Prince Philip.
You've watched it, haven't you?
Yeah.
Oh, but it's one of those shows, I was scrolling through Netflix, I was like, oh, I'll give this a go. I've heard good things, but, you know, it's not really something I'd, could have seen myself watching.
Yeah.
But I loved it. It was so interesting.
But when you were watching it, did you think, I wonder if she's seen it?
Yes.
Or like
yes.
approved it?
This was like the movie The Queen.
But she...
Where Helen Mirren played the Queen. It was all about Princess Diana's death.
Oh, she wouldn't
like
that.
I wondered if she saw that. Because it kind of painted her as a little bit hard about it. But then it did show that she also, you know,
well, that's
suffered
it.
Through it.
In the Netflix show, she's just a shit kicker, right? She gets...
But it makes Prince Philip look like a bit of a dick.
But I think he is, Megan.
Yeah, right. So, apparently...
I think that's what he's
yeah,
like.
Yeah, he'd be like, it's not like that at all. And she'd be like, it was exactly like that.
So this came about after her youngest son, Prince Edward, and his wife, Sophie, they watched Netflix and were massive fans of The Crown, and they would go and have regular weekend trips to visit her and have dinner. They were like, you need to watch this. So they got her onto The Crown, and she loved it. She wasn't, this is all from a senior royal source.
So it's not, it hasn't been confirmed by the palace.
No, but I don't think they ever would.
Yeah.
Confirm it. They don't really speak about personal matters. She really liked it, although there was some depiction of events that she found too heavily dramatised.
Oh.
Which you can imagine anyway, because
it's a TV,
TV
show.
Drama.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, but she loved it.
Apparently she's moved on to Orange is the New Black. She can't get enough of the all-female prison drama.
She loves it.
Loves. Five.
Could you
really
imagine,
getting into Orange is the New Black.
Could you imagine her even with the remote trying to turn Netflix on?
Yeah.
Like, it's hard enough to get your parents into the old...
Oh.
I don't even think my parents really know what Netflix is. Let alone actually
blow their mind. All those programs
it.
Are just sitting there already recorded.
On the internet. Yeah, you can watch them at your disposal. Yeah.
You don't have to wait for the episodes.
Just
not
mind-blowing.
Just wondering what else is on there that the Queen will be watching. Just looking through.
Well, there's the new show everybody's talking about, The Keepers, which...
well, yeah, she's not a Catholic, is she? She's Anglican.
Right.
She's the head of the Anglican church. So she really likes seeing those Irish bastards get knocked down a peg or two. But, yeah, so that's... I've watched another episode of that, The Keepers. I've just watched episode 4. I've got 3 to go. It's not... I tell you, it's not looking good for the Catholic church.
Spoiler alert.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
Joined on the phone by Shortland Street favourite, friend of the show, Lucy / Grace Palmer. Good morning.
Good morning.
You're dead.
All right.
I know, apparently I was supposed to say spoiler alert.
Oh, spoiler alert.
I've never used that phrase in my life.
Spoiler alert, you're dead now. Did you think maybe just you could have just disappeared for a bit? Because then there's always the option to go back. Or were you ready, that was it, you're ready to write it off?
Well, you're not really given the freedom to choose how you go. But you are, I mean, I did, well, it was my choice to go, but I mean, I didn't know that I was going to die.
Right.
Yeah, right.
What? So let's go and talk about the cliffhanger last Thursday, the 90-minute special. Was it? I know you and Tane are friends, but
yeah,
that was a lot of shooting up the skirt for a long period of time.
I know. No, it wasn't weird. I think he felt more uncomfortable about it than I did because I didn't really care that much.
Yeah.
But I mean,
well, I mean, you're probably wearing undies, though, aren't you? You're not actually
no.
Naked.
She's a method actor.
It was rather confronting actually to have your legs open for like three cameras and you know a couple of soundies. But I have to say, I got pretty poor Tani. I got really clingy like over my last week because I guess I saw he's like one of my best mates, and I saw him more than I saw my family. Like he was just kind of. And he's like, oh, you're getting quite clingy. I was like, yeah, I mean, I'm just going to miss you.
Are there any traditions around dying on Shortland Street? Are there any, like, when you get written out, you have to do, I don't know what kind of tradition, but is there anything that's happened throughout the ages?
I mean, I don't know. I know in your last scene, like, when you shoot, and often we shoot things way out of order. So, I mean, the last thing that I shot was me saying goodbye. To Tane, which I think they did that on purpose just to make it really hard for me to do.
Yeah.
But they usually, the cast and crew sort of come in and you do a few speeches and stuff like that, which is always really lovely. But I mean, to be honest, I am like the world's worst dead person, only because I can't like not cry and my eyes will flicker. To be honest, I think there's very little footage of me they could actually use. Because my eyes keep flickering.
So was there tears on the final take?
Yeah, there was a lot of tears. To be honest, there were tears in like my final week. I'm pretty emotional. I'm quite like fragile. So I guess I cried about a lot of weird things. I guess, you know, I was 19 when I started there and those guys are my family. So it's not just, I mean, as hard as it was to say goodbye to the character, it's like, well, I actually say goodbye to people that I see every day of my life and have for the last 3 years. So, yeah. I mean, that's the weirder part, I think, is you sort of, you know, farewelling your family.
And I think that's the big thing is, like, on social media and everything, everyone's like, well, why are you leaving us? What are you going to do now?
Oh, yeah, no. It's like, I guess the thing is that initially I started on, like, a six-month contract and my character had done everything I could have envisioned her to do and more. Like, she made a sex tape, she was held hostage, she got married and had a baby. And I'm like, I feel like that is all I could have asked. You know, and
it's time to go out there and make my own sex tape and have my own baby.
Yeah, no, exactly, totally. Well, yeah, no, I was tossing up between like that and drain laying and joining the circus. I mean, that was sounding really good at the moment.
I like that you're not like writing anything off at this stage. Drain laying, sex tape, circus.
And Grace told me on Thursday night that we're going to go do Bikram together now, babes. Do you remember
that? Yeah, totally. I'm really excited about that. I mean, I may pass out because I've made it sound I'm way more fit than what I am.
I know. You were talking a big game.
Was that just a drunk promise to do Bikram with Megan? You don't have to.
I was mildly inebriated, but I wasn't that drunk.
She gets very gassy at yoga too.
Hey, he's never been with me, Grace. That's not true.
Yeah, when did you go? I was going to say, are you into Bikram as well?
She really doesn't remember our conversation.
And I am 100% going to be there.
Okay.
Not because I enjoy it, but because I'm really competitive and you just challenged me.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I will be there.
God,
all right. Hey, well, Grace Palmer, who played Lucy on Shortland Street, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us this morning and all the best.
Don't be silly. And thank you guys for always being so wonderfully supportive. You're awesome. You guys are the best.
We're going to tear up now.
I'm very lucky. You guys have been the bomb.
Yeah. Cut it out.
Thanks,
all right.
ZM's Fledge, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
Remember last week we spoke about the Rihanna and, no, not Rihanna, Katy Perry and Taylor Swift beef.
Yeah.
Best friends that are beefing and, you know, how long it's been going on.
Yeah.
We spoke to someone and we're actually going to attempt to reunite to fix one of the girls' issues that we spoke to.
That's right, because we asked people. We said, have you
got a beef?
We're the best friend. And it's amazing. So many people just had fallen out with their best friends.
Over stupid little things.
Yeah, and wanted to be best friends again. But didn't know how to make that first step.
So we're going to try and, get some friends back together?
Reunite them after 8.
What if it doesn't work?
It'd be awkward for everyone involved.
Okay.
Great. I've just been reading, and I didn't even know this, you might know this, that the latest fad in restaurants is faking food allergies. There I was thinking it was salted caramel. which is everywhere, by the way. And right. I am all for, because salted caramel is delicious. But it's not salted caramel. It's faking food allergies to get what you want out of an existing dish. Again, this is all news to me.
What? So you'd say I've got a peanut allergy just so you don't get peanuts? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, if you don't like, yeah, but you could just say, I don't want it because I don't want that dish with peanuts in it. Can you just make sure it's going to have peanuts in it?
Right.
No, this is more along the lines of specific examples used in the story. Is a girl was out with her friend who said, I really want this, but I don't want that much bread. So rather than saying, I don't want the bread, she said to the waiter when they came over, hi, I'll have this dish. However, I am gluten intolerant. So can I swap the bread for more bacon? And the waiter was like, yeah, okay.
And
rather than just saying, can I not have the bread and can I have more bacon? They put the guilt of a food allergy on the wait staff so that the wait staff are like, yeah, okay, we can do a straight swap, rather than, oh, you can, but it's going to be an extra few dollars.
Yeah, bread's not interchangeable with bacon.
No, no, they're on a completely different price level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A side of bacon's always like $4.
Oh, yeah, it's a premium meat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas your bread's is like a $2.53 side. So, and this woman who was dying said, I didn't know you were gluten intolerant. And she said, oh, I'm not. I just wanted more bacon. And the girl who witnessed this, this was her friend, remember, but she has a range of food allergies, a deadly peanut and tree nut allergy.
Right.
So she can't have nuts and anything.
So she's upset that someone's taking advantage.
She's saying that when you do this, wait staff would take food allergies less and less seriously.
Right.
And she's even noticed that, you know, in the last few years, they don't take it as seriously. Oh, I'm allergic to something. And they're like,
is it because it's kind of become cool to be gluten-free?
Yeah, it's a little bit cool.
Yeah, there's people with, like, crippling celiac.
Illnesses, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But also, like, we were told everywhere that, you know, gluten's not really that good for you. So people who are trying to be, like, really health conscious would be like, oh, no, I'll go gluten-free.
But you say, oh, I'll just have it without the bread. I've seen you do this multiple times, Flip. Yeah. Just be like, oh, I won't have the bread, so you can just.
But I never even thought about trading off for bacon. More
but,
bacon.
But they're saying you trade off for bacon, it'll cost you more. But to say I'm actually gluten, I've had a horrendous allergy.
Yeah.
They're guilted into giving it and it belittles it. However, it is a great service loophole. And I don't want to talk about food allergies this morning because people will suffer from some. I was just this other woman in the story. She's allergic, life-threateningly allergic, to eggs, dairy, and nuts.
Oh, geez. That's no fun.
That's no good,
She can have a pine nut omelette.
She certainly could.
And how many things that don't contain those, but on the back they say make and train traces of nuts,
oh, yeah.
eggs,
yeah,
dairy.
Lots of things. So she's another one saying you can't use this as a service loophole to get better service.
Right.
I'd love to know of your service loopholes this morning.
Does it include? I tried it when we flew on the plane to Dubai. What?
It just felt like you were specifically dodging what airline we flew.
I feel bad for what I'm about to say.
We flew on a Dubai-based airline to Dubai.
God, that could be any number of airlines, Megan.
It could be Emirates of them.
Yeah. And you know how people with special meals, A, get their food first. And sometimes it looks really good.
Yeah, well, so it's always in a minority, a bit more care's put into that.
When I'm on a plane and I see those people getting their special meals first, those are all the people I wouldn't be friends with.
Yeah.
The annoying people of this world.
Got a soy-free vegan option. And
we were asked very nicely, like, what's your, do you have
dietary
any
requirements.
Dietary requirements? So I said, I'm gluten-free, I'm allergic
so
to gluten.
So you get your food first so you can eat and then go to sleep.
And then it backfired because I did get what looked like a very fancy meal, but it was salmon. And I
don't eat fish.
Hate fish. All kinds,
man,
especially
salmon. Serves you right for being annoying.
It does.
Service loopholes. We want to hear about, perhaps it blew up in your face, like old gluten over here, who's said she was gluten-free.
Okay, well, give us a call. 0800-ZM-9696.
ZM's Fledge, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
So people are lying about food allergies and intolerances to get better orders at menus, at restaurants and cafes.
And it's annoying those who have actual intolerances.
Mm. Well, so somebody's traded bread for bacon, which is brilliant.
That is
I'm
a good trade.
Because I don't like the bread if I do a breakfast. I'm going to try that next time.
What, extra bacon?
And I'm going to say I'm intolerant.
Yeah, if you say you're intolerant to bread, can you swap it? But you're far more likely to get it for free than you are to just say, can I swap it?
I just got a message from a friend asking if they could do the same with coriander for bacon. But that's
no, you can't upgrade from a
herby garnish.
Yeah. Well, what would you describe coriander as? Some people would describe it as garnish.
Yeah.
No, because it's not a garnish. It adds a lot of flavour to
the dish.
Well,
you have it in salads, don't you?
It's like a herb.
But if it's
a
not there,
finishing
it's,
herb.
It's not worth bacon.
Oh, hell no. Hell no. What is
it worth
bacon?
People that don't like coriander.
I don't
Unbelievable.
Know. Somebody said at a, I'm not going to say what burger outlet.
Okay.
But at a certain burger outlet, if you say you're vegan, they exchange cheese for avocado for free. But
oh,
then
you need to say what?
But then you wouldn't have any meat on the burger. What would you have on there? A veggie patty.
Where are you going? Why are you going to a burger place?
Is that just a smashed Avo burger?
Yeah. Mind you, smashed Avo burger, that or a house, make your choice.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to have both. Some other messages in. Someone said, I used to work at Subway and someone would bring in their own gluten-free bread.
No, but they don't have gluten-free bread.
No, I just Googled it because I could have sworn they had gluten-free. So these are your options if you're gluten-free and you go to Subway.
But you've gone to the effort of getting your own bread. Just get some ingredients and make a sandwich.
But maybe you like the inside and the sauces and stuff.
You can have just all the salads, basically. I looked up the gluten-free.
I think they just, if you want gluten-free, they just hand it to you in a pile of lettuce with their hands and you just take it.
No, you're allowed the plastic bowls too.
Unless
you're environmentally conscious and also gluten-free, then you just pour it straight into your hands.
Raiha, you're a chef and you get some weird requests.
So some people, they say that they're vegan.
Yeah.
And then they ask if they can have chicken on a salad, a different salad that's on our menu. And I think they're pretty confused about what vegan means.
Yeah, because vegans, they step up from vegetarian.
Yeah, which means they can't have anything from an animal.
No,
but do they just like that salad option, but then they want to eat chicken? Right.
I feel like that's what it is. But whenever somebody orders something special like that, what it does, is slow our entire service down. So we have to stop every other order to make sure that nothing else is cross-contaminated.
So
it is harder than what everybody else thinks.
So if people aren't gluten intolerant, but they're saying they are, all they're doing is slowing down the kitchen.
Yeah, exactly.
What do they avoid? I'm just trying to figure out the vegans with the chicken. What are they trying to avoid? Have you got a salad with like anchovies in it or something?
I don't know. I just feel like they just wanted it and they weren't happy with what's in our menu, so they just wanted to lie about what their what their dietary requirements are so that they can have a special meal.
But
I'm a loophole vegan.
But they've found a loophole, haven't they? As annoying as that is. Hey, Raiha, thanks for your call.
All right, thank you.
Some other text messages in of how to get good service, some loopholes. I'll always say just before I order, I'm so sorry. I've just had a call. I've managed to delay them a bit. Is there any chance of getting this quite quickly?
That's brilliant.
When a restaurant's busy.
And they bump you to the front.
Yeah.
And then you just take your sweet time eating it.
Yeah.
And then they spit in your food.
I will see the dessert menu, but I've just had another call, and I'm going to need that brownie stat.
Dick.
Another one. Somebody said, I worked at a steakhouse. Vegetarians would come into the steakhouse and take different bits from different dishes, and they'd want them together. So they'd be like, can I have the potatoes from the porterhouse?
No, but I understand
mixed
that.
Mixed with the veggies.
But why go to a steakhouse
from
if you
the
don't...
eye
no,
fillet?
But you sometimes you end up going with a group of people and they all want to go there.
Well, you might be in love with someone that loves a big steak.
Juicy steak.
Big and juicy.
There's no option but to try and piece stuff together if you're not going to eat a steak.
But then they say the kitchen's ground to a halt and then they get their food well before everybody else and then just sit there looking at it because they don't want to eat until everybody's got their food. But they've literally stopped the kitchen to get their veggies all moolied up and put together. So
ZM's Fledge, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
ZM's $50,000 Secret Sound. Season 3. Tell me what the secret sound is.
All right, we're at $30,000. Katrina, good morning. Katrina.
She's put us on hold.
She's called waiting us.
She's called waiting us. Well, she is Katrina.
No, that's not even called waiting. We're being diverted to...
You finally get through for Secret Sound and you're on hold.
She's going to be so upset.
And you call wait us. Unbelievable. Producer Caitlin, what are we going to do here? What are we going to do, Producer Caitlin?
Well...
Go to Amy. Oh. We've got Amy. Amy. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Well, Katrina's.
Oh, no.
Lost your game. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Bad luck for her.
Yeah.
Sucks to be her.
She probably had the wrong answer, though, eh?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I probably do too, but...
Hey, all right, well, this is our secret sound. Thanks to Save My Bacon, Little Lions, No Surprises, $30,000 is on the line. What do you think it is?
I don't really know how it relates to the clothes or anything like that, but I always, from day one, I've thought it's like a microwave being open, like the button to press it.
Oh, yeah.
It would be a very specific microwave, but...
My microwave does. It's got a big plastic button and you clonk, clonk it.
Me too.
Yeah.
Sounds like a bit like that.
Okay, that's not a bad guess. There's one at work. There's several at work.
There's many at work. There might not be one at Gary's house. Who knows? Oh. I don't feel like he microwaves.
I don't feel like, no.
But more? Do you imagine a more of a traditional oven kind of guy?
Sure. Yeah, oh, absolutely. Oven and barbecue.
Yeah.
Or what are those little microwave ovens? Is that what they called them? They weren't really microwaves because they could do both.
Yeah, no. Hey, it's not the secret sound, sorry.
Oh, dear.
Ah. ZM's Fledge, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
Last week we talked to people about when you've broken up with your best friend. Katy Perry and Taylor Swift sparked this, when you've got best friend beef.
Katy Perry last week said, well, if Taylor Swift apologises, it's, you know, we
it's
can...
over.
It's over, we can be friends again.
Yeah.
Nothing's come of that though, has it?
No.
Why should Taylor apologise?
Well, yeah.
Katie didn't apologise. She didn't start with an apology.
This is why I didn't get Vaughn in the Which Zenim announcer are you? Because I'm team Katie.
No, you're team. Oh, yeah, you are team Katie.
You're team Taylor.
But this is what we delved into when you've got best friend beef and it could be over something really trivial. Now, Brooke called us.
Yep.
And she broke up with her best friend 4 years ago. Now, Brooke joins us on the phone now. What happened between you and your best friend, Megan?
I was having a big party for my 21st. Lots of family, people came from, you know, across the country and it was all cool. And at about 10 o'clock, you know, when everything's just kicking off, we've had speeches and things like that.
Yeah, like grandma's going home, she's about to get crazy!
So, and then Megan, like, up and left. And took my friends.
That's right. She was that person that said, let's go to town.
Yes.
And you think that was too early to steal half the party and go to town?
Yeah, I just kind of expected everybody to, like, hang out with me that night.
And so,
what about me?
Literally after your 21st, after they went down, you haven't spoken to her since?
No, well, at that time, we both were leaving the country as well, so there was kind of no time to... talk or make up.
Yeah.
But you stayed friends on Facebook though, didn't you?
Yeah, we haven't deleted each other off anything.
Yeah. But you didn't even make an effort to chat on Facebook. You're just both stubborn. You were like, that's it.
Pretty much. I mean, I wrote a letter in the end, which was like 2 years later. I sent it to her house.
And nothing.
So you don't even know if she got that letter?
Well, I'm pretty sure she did. Right. Yeah,
but you're assuming.
Right.
What sort of things have you missed out on in each other's lives over this time?
Well, two massive ones. We are both engaged and we're both getting married. So
have you even met?
Hard.
Have you met her fiance?
Yeah, I did when we were friends.
Right. So you know who she's engaged to.
Do you think you would have been good enough friends to like be a bridesmaid?
Yeah, 100%. Not anymore, but like at that, yeah.
Well. Yeah. Last week, Brooke, when we were talking about this, we said to you, would you ever want to be friends again with her and kind of, you know...
mean the bridges.
Bury the beef.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
And you said you would. You'd be keen for that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we have decided that we would like to help you do that.
Okay.
And we want to reach out to Megan and see if she is keen to bury the beef. I've just thought of an idea.
Bury the hatchet, I think.
I've just had an idea, guys. We get a mince pack of beef and they have to bury the beef.
Sort of like a ceremonial burying of the beef.
Yeah, would that be a great idea? Bury the beef.
No, it would be a terrible waste
it's
of beef.
Wasteful.
We could call this segment Bury the Beef.
Okay. If you're
if
really
we need
keen
a name
on
for
the
it, if we need a name for the segment.
Well, on public land, and then someone's dog's going to dig a hole and they're going to find a meat pack. Very confusing.
I don't know how this works.
So, are you keen to do this? Are you happy to reach out to Megan? We're going to facilitate your bestie friendship again.
Yes. Yes, I am.
What? Yep. But what if she doesn't want to?
Oh, God. We live in the same town, so that's not...
And so have you ever run into her in public?
I've seen her three times, I think, since. And it's just like a hi.
Be honest, right. Have you ever seen her and like quickly like walked the other way so she didn't see you?
Just one time. Yeah. I think she'll probably know the time as well.
Right. How many years has it been?
Just under three. Yeah.
Wow, okay. Right.
Yeah, and if we don't do anything about it, you'll end up bitter like Katy Perry and Taylor Swift years later.
I mean, you'll both probably get number one songs out of it and make enough money to retire and never work again, but we don't want that.
Okay, well, I tell you what, we're gonna reach out to Megan, former bestie.
Do some behind-the-scenes research and get in touch with her and try to...
And I think tomorrow on the show we should get her on. We should get her on the phone and hear... God. Do you think she will have a different side of your story?
There's always two sides to a story.
Well, yeah, I think probably.
Okay.
I'm really stubborn, so she might just be like, oh, no, it was no big deal. And I was like...
It's a big deal.
I made it a big deal.
Yeah.
Wow. But isn't that sad that there'd be so many people listening that are in the same situation... Yeah. Like, fall out over something that really isn't a big deal?
Yeah, it's sad. It sucks.
And in your mind, you did nothing prior to the 21st that would have made her want to leave. That was the first act of betrayal.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're going to find Megan's number and get a hold of her. And tomorrow on the show, we're going to hear her side of the story. And if she's good with it, I think we need to set up a meeting for you two.
Oh, my God.
And we'll bury the beef.
Are you nervous?
Yes.
Yeah, me too.
I am.
I actually can't wait to hear her side of the story.
Yeah.
Because you might have pissed her off and not even know it all this time.
I know, yeah. And I'm trying to make it all about me and then, oh God.
But what better way, like, you need to hear her side of the story so we can figure this out.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, well, make sure you're tuning in tomorrow, Brooke on the show.
All right.
To hear Fletch say bury the beef more, even though it makes little to no sense.
No, is it because they've got a beef together?
We get it.
Yeah, I know. It's still...
Like, well, would it be better beef if there's a hatchet and we bury that? It's not as funny.
Why do you need to bury something physical?
They've got a beef.
Okay. Yeah, I know. No need for burials.
Okay.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan. The podcast.
There's a little bit of... You probably hear about this today. This is a talkback prepped for the morning. They'll just... ask for your thoughts on this, and then a whole bunch of like crazy people with 1950s ideals ring up the radio station and spout their stuff off, and you're like, wow, does everybody think about that? And you're like, nah, just the vocal minority. So a Tokoroa mum, it says she's gone on a rant. I don't think that particular word helps anything either, because immediately when you hear someone's been on a rant, you imagine someone just flying off the handle, and that's not a particularly attractive way to get a point across. I'm not saying that she did rant, but I'm just saying when the R word's used. Saying about the gender-specific girls' toys and boys' toys that come with McDonald's Happy Meals. And she's saying it shouldn't be. Why my girl? They say you want girls' toys or boys' toys, and my daughter loves trucks and cars and bikes and skateboards.
Just get a truck.
Anything with wheels.
But so she's not happy that they call them boys' toys
and girls' toys.
Right.
They always say to me when I'm getting my daughter's Happy Meals, they say, oh, girls' toys or boys' toys. I said, oh, well, what are the options?
Yeah, because sometimes the other one's cooler.
Yeah.
You want that one.
Yeah, and they'll be like Transformers or Trolls. And I'll be like, do you want Transformers or Trolls? And one will say Transformers and one will say Trolls. I'll say one of each.
It's just the labelling of it, saying the genderizing of each toy.
I was actually really impressed at one place because it said it had the options outside and they said, which toys would you like? They didn't say boys, girls or boys' toys or girls' toys. They just said, oh, which toys would you like? These ones or these ones?
Yeah.
And they didn't say boys or girls. I was like, and I actually said that was nice that you didn't specifically say they were boys, girls. Toys?
Because you think if there was a young boy who maybe wanted the labelled girl toy and then he's made to feel embarrassed if he wants to make that choice. You know, like just label them toys. There's a couple of choices.
And it's really weird because sometimes they're not even like stereotypically feminine.
No.
Or masculine.
Are they like beanie babies or something for girls' toys?
Do you want the red one, which is for girls, or do you want the blue one? Of exactly the same toy, but of course it's blue, so now it's for boys.
Yeah.
She's just saying maybe just shoot it down the middle.
Right.
You can still have two toy options because it's always good to have the options, but, you know, to say that this is for boys and this is for girls.
I always find it odd that people get so up in arms about this because it's like the change... would be beneficial to some people, but it wouldn't be negative towards anyone. How is it a negative change?
Oh, it's like when the gays started marrying Megan, like, you know, how heaps of things just caught on fire and the second coming of Christ and we all burnt alive and we went to hell forever. It was like when that happened. Do you remember when that happened?
Yeah.
It greatly
affected me when people of the same sex could enjoy the same sort of legal standing as a heterosexual couple.
Yeah.
Really affected me. I couldn't sleep. My lawns had weeds in them. All these sorts of things that I can only, you know, the only thing that changed.
Yeah. They're the same sex. They don't know what love is.
They've got no idea. I mean, people like the Kardashians. Now, they're getting through a lot of marriages because they know what love is and they quickly identify that that's not love. So they're trying to move on.
But. Right. Yes. So what's happening out of this? Are they just going to start?
I mean, it's a conversation point. It's right. To talk about.
So do you think they'll have to come out and not label them?
Well, this is the thing. This is the latest because did you see the guy last week that had a big go at McDonald's about the increase in price in a combo that he always really loved?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And the problem is the minute you post anything on the McDonald's Facebook page, which has had like hundreds of thousands of likes, like this post from the mother we were just talking about, it's had 6,000 reactions and 3,000 comments.
Wow.
Which I don't even want to click on because it'll be...
it'll be pretty bad.
It'll be like stuff.co.nz comments. I'm imagining you're 3 down before it gets horrifically homophobic.
Yeah.
Or racist.
You've got to be in the right headspace to dabble in there.
Yeah.
And then you've got to sit down and wait and count to 10 before you decide to comment.
Never a good time to go into a comment section because if you're having a good day, it'll ruin it. And if you're having a bad day, it'll only make it worse. Live in your own beautiful little bubble of acceptance.
It's true.
And just tell them whatever toy you want, really. Don't worry about boys or girls. You just get whatever toy tickles your fancy the most.
ZM's Fledge, Vaughn and Megan. The podcast.
Fact of the day. Today's fact of the day is also a happy birthday.
Okay.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Auckland Harbour Bridge.
Happy birthday to you.
58 years old today.
Only that was able to hear us sing it, Happy Birthday.
I like to imagine it did.
Is
it
all of it 58 or just the middle?
No, Megan, you're dead right, actually.
Mm-hmm. The middle.
The middle is 58 years old today. In 1959, the Auckland Harbour Bridge was officially opened.
Wow.
Happy birthday to the Harbour Bridge. At just over a kilometre long, it's the second longest road bridge in New Zealand. Go on, have a guess. I can see you're really...
No, what's that one when you're... Do they count those ones when you're going in Canterbury and you hold your breath?
Is it the Rakaia?
Megan, 10 points to Gryffindor. It is... Oh, Slytherin, that's your house name.
Yeah. Rakaia
River Bridge, 1,757 metres long. Also, another little fact about the Auckland Harbour Bridge, it was a toll bridge until 1984. Imagine how much that would have slowed down traffic. Nowadays, you just have those electronic
beepers
in your car to go over there, wouldn't you?
Like they do in Sydney and overseas.
Yeah. And if you're driving across the Harbour Bridge right now on one of the outside lanes...
It could fall off.
Well, when they were originally put on in 1969, they were given a 50-year lifespan. And quickly doing the maths, that makes them 48 years old. If you've got a truck behind you and a truck in front of you, well, hold your breath because you might be taking a dip. No, just jokes.
I always think that when I'm on the clip-ons. I think of Final Destination and just the bridge crumbling underneath me.
8 years ago, there was some maintenance done to the bridge. And it's going to give it 20 years more life on those clip-ons. On the outside, as long as too many trucks don't drive over it, and that's an actual fact. There was a petition to get trucks to only drive on the original bridge.
Yep, right. Why didn't they just build a big bridge from the start? It's very unlike Auckland to be short-sighted.
The original bridge, I'm glad you brought this up. The original bridge was supposed to be 6 lanes and have pedestrians on both sides and options for public transport lanes or, you know, like now there's the plan to put the cycle lane kind of under it.
Yep.
So there was original plans of that. And the first national government at the time was like, oof, it's a bit pricey. What can you do for half that? And cheaped out. And now, of
classic
course,
New Zealand.
Even the maintenance to keep the clip-ons on the side working costs way more now than it would have. And the barrier moving machine, you know, the little thing that turtles down and picks up the concrete.
That's magical, by the way.
That was a world first.
was that?
That was a world first. And before that, it was just lights that said, if you're going this way, stay on that way. And there was a few head-on accidents.
Oh, apparently. I don't like, I've been on some of those roads. I don't like those. I'm like, is this the right? No,
it's like
not.
An orange arrow. And you're like, is it telling me to move over or is it telling me I can stay in this lane? Because there's no red X. I need a red X on everything I can't use.
Oh, my God.
So there was just that and a couple of head-on accidents. So they invented
built
this
that.
Thing. Yeah, it was a world first.
Okay.
So today's fact of the day is it's the Auckland Harbour Bridge's birthday and it's 58 years old.
Fact of the day, day.
Just heard from a Labour MP. National cut the original plans and then said, oh, you already knew that as you were. They just needed it. And in an election year, it's important to get a dig even at a historical government.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
Yesterday, we had a scheduled power outage that I didn't know about. I don't know how well scheduled it was.
Did you read the letter that they sent you?
I don't remember receiving a letter. And my wife doesn't remember receiving a letter.
Oh, wouldn't really? You get an email now these days?
No, they sent letters.
But I don't think it wasn't like a specific power company because
right.
I don't know how that all works, really. So, I'd be very interested to know how the power company all works.
They just cut your power.
Yeah, they were replacing a couple of phone poles up the road.
Right.
I don't know why. They looked all right to me.
You're not a power pole professional.
But you know me, when I was like, what is causing this power thing? And Shad, I said, I drove past before they're replacing the poles. So I was like, go and have a look. So I walked up.
You're so weird.
Because we had no power. And I looked at the pole and the guys were changing it. Apparently I couldn't get too close because of the risk of electrocution.
Yeah.
And I said, what was wrong with this one? Looks all right to me. Oh. And apparently that's just what people say to them all.
But it wasn't like they went from a dad joke.
But were they replacing
I wasn't joking. I was generally like.
But were they replacing a tree one with a concrete one?
They were replacing a tree one with another tree one. Wood, I think they call that material made from trees. They were replacing it with one that looked. That's why I was. You'd imagine my confuzzlement.
Yeah, right. Okay.
My confuzzlement. I was like,
why bother? I didn't think they still did tree ones.
No, they do tree ones. If you think about, because I spent a bit of time up there. Yeah, the concrete ones have flat sides, so you can only kind of run them straight. Okay. But this circular one, this pole one, you can kind of pick what side you put your thing on. Because it can come in on one angle and shoot off at another, but the square ones have kind of got to come on square and then go off square.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
It makes sense why they've still got some round ones.
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, I went home and it was one of those classic things if you just forget everything in your house runs off power.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, God, I'll have a cup of coffee. Oh, no, I won't. Won't be able to boil the jug.
No, you do that thing where you're like, oh, I can't boil the jug. I'll do it on the stovetop.
Yeah. Oh, good. I'll outsmart you. Oh, I can't do it on the stovetop either. God, what am I going to do that? Guess I'll just watch TV to put. No, I'm not going to do that either. Oh, well, I'll download a show. No, I won't be watching anything. Oh, well, I'll go see what's in the fridge. Don't open the fridge. The power's off. Which I just finished telling my wife not to open the fridge.
Because you let the cold out. And
Okay. Let the warm in. I'm not sure how that which way that works.
Right.
It's one of the two. So I taped those shut.
So you wouldn't open them.
And it got so dire, I was like, I'll go for a run.
Right.
So I went for a run, and my phone ran out of batteries on the run. So I got home, and I was like, well, I need to charge that.
No.
So I had to go and charge it in the car.
Okay. So can you still have a shower? That was
the next thing. I went to have a shower, but it was only cold water. And I said, I thought the hot water cylinder would have had hot
a bit
water
of hot
in it.
Yeah.
And Sade said, oh, I had a nice hot shower after the gym. So I'm guessing it's just all either been watered down with the cold water that rushed in.
Yeah.
So I guess the moral of the story is be thankful for electricity.
Thank
it's
you,
a real
Jeremy
bitch
Wells.
When it's not there. Yes, be thankful for Jeremy Wells. If, by the way, it's not windy enough, he goes and spins those wind turbines by hand.
He does.
He is our God.
He
it should
is.
Just be, oh my Jeremy.
Oh my Jeremy. Thank Jeremy for that. Hey, Caitlin. Thank Jeremy for that. Jeremy Wells. Oh, she doesn't know what we're talking about.
She's talking to Vicky.
She's not been listening to the show, and that's a fair indication that we should stop talking now.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
So we vote for our favourite story to win the tickets. We're going to start with you, Katie. What's your story for last calls?
So I have a friend called Atinda. She's Indian. And I was telling my mum how
I've gone out to dinner a few times with her Tinder. She's really lovely. I brought her over to my new place and showed her around and all that kind of stuff. And my mum and I are sitting down for breakfast, and I'm telling her about this, and mum's like looking at me really weird. I mean, she's like, Katie, is there something you need to tell me? Like, Katie, are you gay? And I'm like, what do you mean? What? And she's like, this Tinder person you're bringing home, you know, you've never brought anyone home. Who are you bringing home? And I'm like, a Tinder. And she's like, yeah, a Tinder date. And I'm like, no, Mum, it's my friend a Tinder. You've met her, that Indian girl.
But that's, and I'm not a lesbian.
Yeah, Mum, no. Like, I know my breakup was bad, but I mean, not that bad.
Yeah, I understand the mistake.
Oh, Mum.
Yeah, Mum.
She was like positive though, right?
She was. Yeah, like, she was. She was like, good. I love you no matter what. Oh,
see, that's
you know?
Good.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. All right. Okay, Katie, wait there. We'll vote in a sec. Sue, what's your story for last calls?
Hi there, guys. How you doing?
Good, thanks. Good, Sue. Sue. Good, Sue.
Good, good. Hey, so look, when I was a kid, I was just one of those totally accident-prone ones that always had a sprained wrist, stubbed toe, all the deals.
Yeah.
So anyway, my older sister had got a new bike, and I decided I wasn't allowed to ride it, so I took off on it one morning and thought I'd head out the drive. Now, we lived in the country and we had one of those shingle drives, you know, with the big rocks at the end. And as I got to the end, the front wheel hit the rock and typical, you know, kid flew off the bike, did the big kid scream and knocked myself out. The next thing, when I came to, I realised I was on the ground and I had the bell in my mouth. So anyway, I lifted myself up and, you know, did the big kid thing where you take off down the drive crying. And anyway, I'd really hurt myself. The rubber handle grip of the bike actually ripped all the way down the back of my throat and spent 3 weeks at home on liquids and all the rest. But anyway, that was cool. I recovered from that.
I just ended up with the bell. Like, the bell was in your mouth, but the bell was in your mouth because the handlebar had gone down your throat.
Absolutely. So, yeah. So, anyway, what happened was I recovered and everything. All was good. And my sister, who clearly didn't particularly like me at the time, she decided it'd be really cool to tell her mates, you know, about what had happened. And this was just like before I'd started high school.
Yeah.
So I started high school and I being known as the girl who could deep throat a handlebar.
I was wondering
where that was
going.
It was rattling around in the back of my mind, but then when you realized I was about to start high school, I was like,
I hadn't even.
Yeah.
That's just, yeah, right. Okay.
Wow, you got right down to the bell.
Don't.
Okay.
Jesus. That
I
just,
yeah. I don't know how to explain
ouch.
That.
No. All right. We're now going to vote for our favorite story. It's tough today, isn't it? It's tough. Deciding vote. Megan Sellers today has the deciding vote for who wins last calls today. Interesting. Sue.
Yeah.
Oh, obviously you tickled Megan's sense of humour there.
She also started high school known as the girl who could deep throw a handlebar.
All right, hey, so
you're a kindred spirit in you, Sue.
That was the Fletch, Vaughn and Megan podcast. For more, catch them every morning from 6 and check them out on Facebook. ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan. ZM.